On that Subcommittee on Natural Resources, Joint Ways and Means Committee, of the Subcommittee of Natural Resources for June 27, 2017. And we are going to have public hearing and work sessions. Just work session?
We're going to start out with work.
Start off with the work session. All right. Thank you. Who's helping me with this? And the work session is going to be on Senate Bill 5519, the Oregon Department of Forestry. And if you would, please, Mr. Stainer. Got to do that first, yes.
Thank you, Chair Frederick. We'll start out with go through and read the LFO recommendation for the Oregon Department of Forestry. Senate Bill 5519 being the budget bill for the Oregon Department of Forestry. The LFO recommended budget of $346,418,087 represents a 0.5% reduction in total funds from the current service level. The budget includes adjustments to cover erroneously added funding in the base budget and essential packages, reduces expenditures and eliminates positions due to a reduced Department of State lands forest management contracts. It aligns revenues and expenditures related to the implementation of the forest revised procurement and payment system implementation, and it implements general fund reductions in accordance with the Joint Committee on Ways and Means co-chair framework. The budget also includes funding to continue the federal forest restoration program, the addition of an aviation coordinator position, and the expansion of rangeland protection program, and additional funding for the treatment of sudden oak death. Though not included in the agency's budget, the actual bill has appropriated $6 million of general fund to the emergency board for emergency firefighting costs, including severity resources and wildfire insurance premiums. So in OLIS, you'll have the LFO recommendation. It includes these the LFO presentation report, and we go through, as I'm sure you're all used to by now, program by program with the budget, and we're going to talk about each item and each package that's been changed from CSL. So beginning on page 2 of that program, 2 of 20, it's the budget for the agency administration program. It's a general fund budget of $3 million, other funds budget of $35,626,463, federal funds budget of $2,635,870, 103 positions, 107.82 FTE. Package 381 in the agency administration is the Federal Forest Restoration Program, and this package continues the program at ODF that directly supports activities intended to increase the pace, scale, and quantity of active forest management of forests on federal lands. There's a $3 million general fund appropriation included in the package, along with $692,070 of other funds expenditure limitation and $510,798 of federal funds expenditure limitation. The total funding in the package of $4,202,868 is split between collaborative group support, state and federal partnership, and program management administration. Federal fund and other fund expenditures provided department to implement projects using the Good Neighbor Authority, the other funds revenues from anticipated sales of federal timber, the federal funds revenue are from cooperative agreements with U.S. Forest Service. Up to $500,000 of the general fund will be used to provide grants to collaborative groups that will be administered by the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Five new permit positions are established in the program, and an operation policy analyst 4 position as the program manager, 4 natural resource specialists 2 positions, and 12 existing seasonal positions are going to be extended by 8 months each. Package 801 in agency administration is analyst adjustments, and this includes 3 adjustments: the reversal of essential package 60, adjustment in other funds expenditure limitation for the e-procurement system, and other fund expenditure reduction to correspond to the general fund reduction for administrative support in private and fire divisions that are included in the co-chair framework. So during the budget formation process, a technical adjustment increasing general fund ongoing support for the agency's planned implementation of the new purchase order and procurement system, otherwise known as forestry buys, was added to the budget in error. The ongoing general fund support for the system is already included in the base budget of both fire and the fire protection and private forest divisions. Those two programs transfer that money to the agency administration program. The package includes a simple reversal of the 060 package, reducing general fund by $520,750. Additionally, other funds expenditure limitation and agency administration program associated with the purchase order and procurement system is increased by 1.15 1.115249 in the package to provide total other funds expenditure limitation of roughly $1.93 million to pay the anticipated costs of initial statewide implementation of the e-procurement system. About $1.23 million of that amount is anticipated to be received by ODF from the other participating agencies for their portion of the one-time costs. Of the total amount, at least a little over $1 million is one-time expenditure. Additional requirements might be likely in the next biennium to reduce that out of the base as the final costs are known. A reduction in other funds expenditure authority of $1.32 million is included in the package to facilitate the reduction in other funds in general fund support for the agency administration and private forests and the fire protection divisions. Our next program is the Fire Protection Program. It has a general fund budget of $47,165,345, other funds budget of $73,073,033, federal funds budget of $16,952,149, 689 positions, 394.66 FTE. Package 313 in the Fire Protection establishes a NRS, Natural Resource Specialist 3 position, to act as an aviation coordinator. This position is funded both from the general fund and from other funds. 67,000 of other funds, 133,000 of other funds, $200,824, one position, one FTE. Package 314 is support for the Rangeland Protection Association. The package expands the Rangeland Fire Protection Program by providing project management and support to the Rangeland Protection Associations. It converts half of the funding for one permanent full-time position from federal funds to general funds. The change is to stabilize the funding support for the position, since the federal funds have historically been received via competitive grants. Additionally, 66,000 of the federal funds for services and supplies is supplanted with general fund, and another $200,000 in general fund is added to subsidize liability insurance costs of the Rangeland Protection Associations. Package 801 in fire protection is the analyst adjustments, and there are three general fund reductions. These are to align the agency's budget with currently available resources presented the co-chair's budget framework. General fund support for agency administration from the Fire Protection Division is reduced by $1,084,910. Reduction in current service level for implementing ongoing costs of the agency's procurement payment system of $290,882 general fund is included. And the final adjustment is a 25% reduction in the general fund subsidy on forest patrol assessments for Eastside low productivity woodland. That's a $500,000 general fund reduction and a corresponding increase in $500,000 in other funds expenditure limitation. Package 802 is a reduction in common schools lands management. This is a reduction in the other funds revenue transfer from State Forest Division to private forest to the Fire Protection Division of $347,000 for forest patrol assessments related to common school lands due to a reduced number of acres of common school lands under contract. And I do want to make a little side note here. There was a couple of questions that were surrounding this. The number of acres that are under contract for management at ODF, that are DSL lands, is dropping in the upcoming biennium. However, those acres still require payment of forest patrol assessments. It's just that it won't be being processed from the state through the State Forest Division and then forwarded on to the Fire Protection Division. It's anticipated that the Department of State Lands will make those payments directly to the Fire Protection Division. So our next program is the equipment pool with the other funds budget of $16,653,089. There's no policy option packages in this program. The State Forests Program has a other funds budget of $92,937,670, federal funds budget of $896,874, 244 positions, 221.27 FTE. Package 802 is the reduction in the common schools lands management. This package makes revenue and expenditure adjustments in the state forest programs to align the program's budget with the anticipated revenues due to a reduction in the total number of acres of common school forest lands managed by ODF. The package eliminates a total of 11 positions funded from common school lands programs, $1,494,194 other funds, and the Board of Forestry program and the Board of Forestry lands program, $641,193 of other funds. An additional $917,089 other funds for 27 fractional positions, that makes up only 3.94 FTE, shifted from the to the Board of Forestry lands program from the Common School lands program, and an additional unspecified personal service reduction of $1,143,770 is included in the Common School lands program for a total personal services reduction of $3,555,053 in that program. $1,920,002 in service supplies expenditures are also eliminated from this Common School lands program. An increase in services and supplies expenditures of $1,739,948 is established for the Board of Forestry lands program for the purpose of managing log sort sale contracts. The net result of these changes produced an overall reduction in other funds expenditure limitation in the amount of $3,415,382 in the state forest divisions. The other funds revenue transfers from state forest to the fire protection division is also reduced by $347,000, as we just discussed in the fire division package. The next section, private forest program, has a general fund budget of $16,949,333. Other funds, $10,777,171. Federal funds of $13,667,673. 112 positions, 110.32 FTE. Package 801 is of the LFO analyst adjustments to the private forest divisions. And these include a number of general fund reductions to align the ODF budget with the Ways and Means Committee's co-chair budget framework. Four of these reductions were included in the governor's proposal as well. And that's a 40% reduction in the funding for the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds Administration that totals $325,000. Reduction in funding for Forest Practices Act compliance audit. It's a reduction of $150,000 general fund and $100,000 other funds. This will allow the compliance audit to be completed every 2 years instead of annually. Reduction of support for the Watershed Research Cooperative Trask Watershed Study that includes reduction in pass-through funding for cooperative partners totaling $309,000 general fund. And a reduction from general fund support to agency administration of $235,485 from the private forest divisions. The package also includes reduction in current service level funding for implementation and ongoing costs of the agency's procurement payment system of $61,138 general fund. Funding for two positions, an aerial survey coordinator and a stewardship forester, is shifted to 100% federal funds from general fund and other funds. Package 803 in the Private Oaks and the Private Forest Division is for funding for additional funding for sudden oak death. This package provides a general fund appropriation of $450,000 for sudden oak death eradication treatments. The additional funding is to be prioritized for the treatment of the European clonal lineage EU1 sites on both state and private lands. $450,000 of general fund. The Facilities and Maintenance and Management Program has an other funds budget of $5,435,565 with no positions, no FTE. Debt Service has a general fund budget of $2,740,071, lottery funds of $2,606,595, other funds budget of $692,528, no positions, no FTE in that program. Capital Improvement has an other funds budget of $4,608,658 with no positions or FTE included in that division. Capital Construction has no current budgeted amounts in that program. So, the LFO recommended budget for Oregon Department of Forestry includes total $69,854,749 general fund, $2,606,595 lottery funds, $239,804,177 other funds, $34,152,566 federal funds for a total funds budget of $346,418,087, 1,177 positions, 863.80 FTE.
Thank you. Do I need to go to the recommendation first and then discussion?
Yes.
Chair Witt.
Mr. Chairman, I move the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5519.
Chair Witt moves the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5519. Is there any discussion? Yes, Representative
Wilson. Can you remind me what's the expenditure for capital improvements for almost $4.5 million?
Chair Frederick, Representative Lewis, the capital improvements budget $4.5 million covers all of the maintenance of all of the agencies' hard assets, including their buildings, their equipment, all of anything that you can imagine that's that the agency keeps for any length of time.
Is some of that that's in there, follow up, Mr. Chair, some of that that's in there for the renovation of the forestry building on State Street?
Senator Frederick, Representative Lewis, no, there's no money in there.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Witt, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering what kind of assurance we might have that $450,000 is adequate to deal with sudden note death syndrome.
Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, I don't know that we have an assurance that any amount is going to be enough with such a significant issue as the sudden note death that the agency has been working for a number of years on. I think that my conversations with the department has said that they feel that this amount is going to provide them with the resources to address the immediate needs that face them.
Thank you.
Representative Escobar.
Jeff, thank you, Mr. Chair. There's a couple things in this budget that I do not like. One is just what my colleague and co-chair, Representative Witt, just stated. But also on the fire and private forest division, we're taking away $500,000+, and yet we still maintain $3 million in the federal forest. I'm having trouble grasping what we're doing in this state. It seems to me the federal government should take care of its forest just like we take care of ours. And I understand that it's a feel-good thing for maybe some people, but to me, that's all it is, because we have $3 million tied up there that we could be utilizing for the sudden oak plus fire positions. And I think that we need to prioritize a little bit better in this budget what we're doing with our money.
Representative, any response, any concern? I think that, let me just say that I think I'm hoping that we'll be able to find some way to get in the final budget that we have for the state at the end of the session at $500,000. Don't know where it's going to come from right now, but it's something that we've been talking a great deal about.
Follow up?
Yes.
We talked about this when we brought the original budget in, and I thought we were going to get some kind of a fix, but
so too.
Obviously we didn't, and I'm not pleased that we didn't get a fix. Maybe we didn't make ourselves clear, but I thought we were on our road.
Well, if you recall, the initial request in terms of the federal forest effort was actually $4 million, and so we've tried to deal with that as well. So we've been cutting back a bit. And believe me, considering the letters that I'm getting regarding the federal forest effort, it's they're concerned, significant concern about that. Any other? Yes.
I'll just save my comments to the last motion.
Okay, thank you. Any other objections to the motion? Any objections to the motion? No. The motion passes.
Thank you, Chair Frederick. Also, on OLIS, you have in front of you the legislatively proposed key performance measures. These have been updated with the latest reported results and the targets for 2018 and 2019. LFO recommends the approval of the key performance measures as presented.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I move the LFO recommendations for KPMs on Senate Bill 5519.
Chair Witt moves the LFO recommendation on key performance measures for Senate Bill 5519. Is there any objection? So moved.
Okay, thank you, Chair Frederick. The last item, I'm going to reread these numbers again, since we seem to love numbers so much. LFO recommends a budget of $69,854,749 general fund, $2,606,595 lottery funds, $239,804,177 other funds, $34,152,566 federal funds, $1,177 positions, 863.8 FTE, which is reflected in the dash one amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 5519.
Chair Witt moves the adoption of the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 5519. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So moved. Oops.
Did we move the key performance measures?
We did.
We did.
Sorry.
Thanks for checking us.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
So LFO recommends that House Bill, Senate Bill 5519, as amended by the Dash 1 Amendment, be moved to the Ways and Means Full Committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 5519 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Chair Witt moves Senate Bill 5519 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Yes, sir.
First of all, I want to thank Matt for yesterday. We had some urgent things that needed to be changed, and he and Betsy Einholt were able to get it done, and I'm very, very appreciative of that. I also share Representative Esquivel's concern over the East Side rate relief being cut by $500,000. I am really hoping that we can get that in the Christmas tree bill. So I'm going to vote for this because it has definitely moved in a positive direction. However, I do share the concerns that there are some things that need to be done, especially for those landowners on the east side. So hopefully we'll take this up in full. We'll make a big deal about the $500,000 cut, and we can get that in the Christmas tree bill, hoping, okay? And I'm hoping I have the support of my good friend on my left. He's definitely on my left.
And proud to be here. Thank you.
In fact, he's so far left of me, he comes out on my right. What's the deal?
It twists around. Thank you very much. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I too want to note that Matt was exceptionally helpful yesterday with some last minute stuff that I had as well. So, and he works miracles in a short fashion. So,
it's that magic that he has there. Thank you. Anyone else? No. Thank you very much. So, would you please call the roll?
No.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Power?
Aye.
Representative Lewis?
No.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Senator Girard?
Yes.
Senator Taylor?
Aye.
Senator Frederick?
Yes. The 5519 passes. And let's see, I guess I'll take it to the floor.
Yeah, you better take it.
I better do that. And the floor. I guess I'll take it to the floor too. What on the you as well, Chair Witt?
Thank you.
All right, and as we move along here,
close that work session.
Close the work session on Senate Bill 5519 and open a public hearing and work session on House Bill 2270.
Chair Frederick, members of the subcommittee, House Bill 2270 is commonly referred to as the Harvest Tax Bill. This establishes the privileged tax rates on merchantable forest products harvested on Oregon forest lands. The revenue generated from the portion of the tax that's contemplated in the bill support the Forest Research Laboratory. They contribute money to the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund for fire suppression activities. They fund up to 40% of the administration of the Oregon Forest Practices Act. And they support investments in professional forestry education at Oregon State University's College of Forestry. So you have in front of you on OLIS the dash 6 amendment, which is the LFO recommended amendment. That amendment makes changes to the bill to produce revenues for these four items, both the research lab, the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund, private forest division at Department of Forestry, and the OSU Education Fund. The total anticipated revenue is
$23,806,695. Go ahead. And we have three people signed up to speak to that. So,
yeah.
Let's do that first.
Okay. Sounds good.
So I'm going to call. Well, could have all three come up, but we'll see what happens here. Paul Barnum, Christina McNitt, and Roger Beyer.
Good afternoon, co-chairs. For the record, my name is Christina McNitt. I'm representing the Oregon Forest and Industries Council, here to talk to you about House Bill 2270, and maybe more importantly, to introduce Paul Barnum, who's the executive director of our industry commodity commission called the Oregon Forest Resources Institute. To House Bill 2270 first, Matt, Mr. Stainer, kudos to you also from OFIC. There was a lot of mad scrambling yesterday, having received the documents on Friday and trying to understand how it all worked. Really appreciated your professional expertise and management through some of that. Thank you to the co-chairs in particular and this committee for, in this budget cycle, what turned out to be a fairly decent budget. Most importantly, to OFIC, you collectively managed to avoid cutting positions in the fire program and in private forests, the forest stewardship foresters, which was a tremendous deal, and you should be proud of that. Also, the POPs for the aviation coordinator, SOD, and the RPAs. We remain very concerned, however, about the $500,000 cost shift to landowners in eastern Oregon. That was part of a deal the landowners made with the state in 2012 when we passed the Wildfire Protection Act, and I appreciate the comments here about trying to restore that. So all to say, what does that have to do with House Bill 2270? First, just thank you. And secondly, this is our tax bill rather than a fee bill that marries up with the department's budget. OFIC would be supportive of both the dash 6 amendments that set the rates and the dash 4 amendments that Paul Barnum with OFRI is ready to speak to. But it's a housekeeping amendment with respect to how they assess their budgets. Thank you.
So I am Paul Barnum. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Forest Resources Institute. Co-chair Frederick, co-chair Witt, thank you for this opportunity to speak before this chamber. OFRI was created by the legislature in 1991, and at that time there was an actual rate established, which was 33 cents per 1,000 board feet of harvested timber, and then there was a maximum rate, and the maximum rate was 75 cents. The maximum rate was set by statute to increase by the Portland CPI so that we always had a maximum rate that we could charge up against. The actual rate was set by the board of the OFRI Board of Directors, which comprises basically the taxed class. And so it consists of small, medium, and large landowners, and so flanking me are the large landowners with Christina and OFIC, and on my right, the Oregon Small Woodlands Association. That rate set by the board basically is in response to demands of the sector for public education activities. And so that's what OFRI does, public education around forests, forest management, and forest products. We have programs that reach the public, K through 12, landowner education, and then increasingly architects, engineers, and contractors. Well, the rate, the board would set the rate periodically based on the public education needs that they saw and the willingness of the sector to accept this privilege tax. So we would have to go occasionally and basically sell landowners on the need for public education. Representative Witt was on one of the first OFRI boards, and I'm sure he went through this many times. About two years ago, we had just a regular review of our statute by Department of Justice, and they said, uh-oh, we think the wording on this says that you can only increase your actual rate, not the maximum rate, but the actual rate by the Portland CPI. Well, this kind of throws out 25 years of actual practice, and so we are here before you today basically requesting a language change which would restore our ability to do that periodic increases or decreases. Over the history of OFRI, we've probably increased the rate maybe a half a dozen times, actually decreased it 1 year when revenues came in higher than anticipated. And so this gives the OFRI board that flexibility to operate as it has in the past, but also I think forces us to be collaborative with the sector. In other words, if we believe that there is a need for more education, we actually have to go to landowners, principals, and say, here's what we think is needed. Do you agree? And obviously, if they don't agree, we're not going to be increasing the rate. Thank you.
Thank you, Co-Chair Fredericks and Co-Chair Witt. My name is Roger Beyer. I'm here representing the Oregon Small Woodlands Association. I would just echo the comments of Christina, and also like to thank Matt and Representative Witt and Senator Frederick for getting us together yesterday and being able to work this out. House Bill 2270 and the Harvest Tax Bill and the Department of Forestry budget seem to be always a very complicated issue, and seems like it's always one of the last budgets to leave this committee. I think we should figure out a way to work on that and maybe move it forward in the process in future years. But we appreciate it very much. We do support the Dash 6 amendments and the Dash 4 amendments, and we appreciate you adopting those and moving the bill forward. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Only there because it's more so important. That's why. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to have the committee at ease for just a second here, and may I talk with the co-chair?
Good
thank
idea.
You. Because of the kind of timing that we're dealing with here, I think that there's a pretty clear, I won't say consensus because I haven't done a quick vote, but a sense that we need to have some changes take place that have been mentioned by the, that are part of the Dash 4 amendment right now. But frankly, the concern is the language. There's still some issues regarding the language, and although Matt is a miracle worker, I don't think he's managed to do the miracle that we'd like to have yet. We hope he can get some things done and other folks can get some things done. But LRO and Legislative Council apparently still have some concerns about the language and changing that. We need to have that done. I'd like to have that done right. I don't want to have an unintended consequence take place there. So what I'm going to suggest is, I know you were going to propose the Dash 4s. I want us to continue working on that, and if we can get, it's possible. It is possible. There is a path to include that language, the good language, later on within the next couple of days, but we need to look at it a little bit more. So I'm going to suggest that instead of going with the Dash 4s right now, perhaps we might go with the Dash 6s and try to work on this over the next day or so, certainly 2 days. If that will work with the rest of the committee, that will that work?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If, I reserve the right to be voting no in Ways and Means if we don't get the Dash 4.
I understand. Okay. I understand. So thank you. Having said that, Chair Witt.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Dash 6 amendments to House Bill 2270.
Chair Witt moves the dash 6 amendments to 2270. Is there a discussion about the dash 6 amendments? No? Do we need a vote on that?
Yes. You could ask if there's an objection.
Are there any objections? No objections? All right, thank you. The dash 6 amendments are approved.
Thank you, Chair Frederick. LFO recommends that House Bill 2270, as amended by the dash 6 amendment, be moved to the full Ways and Means Committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 2270 as amended to the full committee with a do pass recommendation.
Chair Witt moves House Bill 2270 as amended with to the committee with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that? No. Is there? Would you please call the roll?
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Power?
Aye.
Representative Lewis?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Senator Girard?
Yes.
Senator Taylor?
Aye.
Senator Frederick?
Yes. House Bill 2270 has passed, and I guess I will take that to the full committee as he chuckles once again.
And on the House side?
On the House side. Who can take it on the floor?
Anybody want to? I'm happy to.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
I knew you'd volunteer.
All right. Thank you. So we're going to close the work session on 2270, and now we'll open a work session on 2743. House Bill 27. Close the public hearing on 2270 as well. Open a public hearing and possible work session on 2743. And I think we have represented, oh, there he is. Oh, the two of you. And we have folks who are ready to come and speak on that. Would you give us a little idea of what we're talking about here?
Senator Frederick, I'd be glad to. I'm going to give you kind of a long-winded explanation. 2743 directs Land Conservation Development Commission to establish and implement an economic development pilot project that promotes economic development in a rural area, promotes industry growth and job creation. It's supposed to be at a site that's nominated by a city no less than 100 miles from any city with a population, or it has to be at least no less than 100 miles from any city with a population greater than 300,000, and with a county unemployment rate of at least 8%. The nominating city is required to submit a concept plan for the program, required amendments to the comprehensive plan or existing land use regulations, and demonstrate that the plan site conforms to additional requirements of the bill, including adjacency to an airport with an approved master plan. The urban growth boundary and expansion would not be subject to existing goals and administrative rules related to boundary expansions. Master area plan would be required to remain planned for commercial or industrial uses compatible with aviation. The department would be required to study, that's the Land Conservation and Development Department, would be required to study and report on the economic development progress of the pilot program. The bill also creates a fund allowing for the commission to accept contribution from public bodies. The fiscal impact assumes that the nominating city will contribute monies to facilitate the required work of DLCD, and the recommended amendment provides that a fund expenditure limitation to DLCD from the fund.
Thank you. And we have two folks have decided to come and testify on this. Representative, would you please introduce yourself?
Thank you, Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, committee members John Huffman, State Representative for House District 59, which includes the Madras Airport. And with me is Madras City Manager Gus Burrell, who can answer any questions that you might have. We do want to try to be brief. Mainly, I just wanted to say this was a tremendously good effort. I want to thank Ellen Miller from Department of Land Conservation Development. As we all know, she took that new job at the beginning of the session, and she probably hoped that she would not run into me with a bill like this. But she did. She did a great job, and appreciate Ellen and Director Jim Rue. Worked with us. Worked with the City of Madras and the City Council. Gus did a great job getting the city council to agree to pay for the fiscal of doing the rule writing around this process so that there wouldn't be a fiscal on it and just need an expenditure limitation. And at that, if it's okay, Mr. Chair, I'd like to have Gus maybe give you a brief outline of what it really means to Madras. I know Matt did a great job on the technical part of it, but there's a real human part to the bill also. Thank you.
Thank you, Gus. If you would, okay. Please introduce yourself. For
you bet. Gus Burrell with the City of Madras, City Administrator. And I thank John and Ellen and the DLC team for helping us work through this. What we ultimately did over the last 3 years is ended up permitting well over 140 acres of new development for an Oregon-based company, but a nationwide company, Daimler Trucks North America. And they came to us with feasibility scenarios all over the airport on grounds that are reserved for non-aeronautical use, supported by the Federal Aviation Administration to ground lease to support the airport operations. And it became clear to us that we have a very cumbersome process to try to manage our airport. It's about half in the city and half out. In 2003, the county transferred deed. It used to be a city-county airport. It was originally deeded to the city and county back in 1948 through a war surplus act, and it just was too cumbersome to double board manage it. And this bill is attempting to get the full transfer into the city to manage it. One of the main ways it's hit us this year is we're updating our transportation system plan, and we could only show roads in the airport up to halfway through the airport while we're building a road out to Daimler on a part of the airport not for aeronautical use that will be transferred back into the city. And so our planning rules got all complicated, and we're asking for help to transfer over to the city. The Jefferson County Board of Commissioners are behind it, wrote a letter, and it is uploaded to you here supporting this. So we have the county's support, and we're ready to support the state and not overburden with a pilot program, but resource it and have the council's support to do that consistent with the bill sponsors' conversations with Ellen. So it's really important to us. We've been one of the most distressed counties coming through the recession. We're just starting to pull out of it, but we are very much in that 8% five-year or 8% unemployment five-year lag, and so we meet that requirement. We have a master plan adopted. We're responsible to FAA to manage this property already, and they do support development of it. It isn't, to the state of Oregon, it is an enterprise zone already adopted by Business Oregon, so it's being managed consistent with that. The zoning's there. We're not trying to change land in any way, and we also protect farmland expressly in the bill, which was important to the state and to Madras as well. We're very much a rich agriculture community, so we believe we put the right protections in the bill, and we did not identify any opposition through the first committee hearings, because I think as we get to visit with each of you and understand the context, it makes a lot of sense, and that's why we haven't met opposition. So we're asking for the support to continue through with you here. But with that, I'd be happy to answer questions on behalf of the city.
Are there any questions? Committee? No? Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm just curious about this will not affect the carrot seat.
That's correct. In fact, on our airport right now is an interim use. We have about, I think, between 60 and 80 acres planted of carrot seed on there. So the airport itself actually will use all available uses we can make for it.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I truly enjoyed finding out about the carrot seed over there several years ago. So thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There are other seeds too.
No, but 75% of the carrot seed sold in the United States comes out of Madras.
Really? The carrot seed capital of the world.
Exactly. Exactly.
We'll be dug.
That's a question.
There you go.
Anyone else have
anything? Any other questions? No more. No more discussion. Yes.
Just a comment, Mr. Chair. This bill came before our Committee on Economic Development and Trade, and it was a unanimously passed recommendation.
Good to know. Thank you very much.
By the way, Mr. Chair, yes. These are very good setups when you can do this. We have similar things in the Medford Airport where they have industrial zone, they have an international zone, all kinds of stuff. And of course, we're building a
expressway, so it's going to even in, exacerbate that ability for Medford to draw in people.
Good deal. Thank you. Do we need a motion here?
I think we can close the public hearing.
Close the public hearing on 2743 and open a work session on House Bill 2743.
Thank you, Chair Frederick. In the interest of time, since we've just had the public hearing, I'll just the LFO recommendation is the adoption of the A2 amendment, which provides the other funds expenditure limitation of $90,660.
Is there any discussion on
that? Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of the A2 amendment to House Bill 2743.
Chair Witt moves the adoption of the A2 amendment to House Bill 2743. Any discussion on that? No? Any objection? So moved.
The LFO recommends that House Bill 2743, as amended by the A2 amendment, be moved to the Full Ways and Means Committee.
Very much, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill 2743, as amended, to the full committee with a do pass recommendation.
Chair Witt moves the adoption of House Bill 2743 to the full committee with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to express my appreciation for the City of Madras's efforts in economic development, and I recognize that doing these sorts of things is not always easy, particularly when you have to have a bill drafted to get it accomplished. But economic development is the way that we're going to improve the lot of this state, and we need economic development from one corner to the other of this state. And thank you to all the good people in Madras.
An amen attached to that, so thank you. Thank you very much. Is any other discussion? Would you please call the roll?
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Power?
Aye.
Representative Lewis?
Aye.
Aye.
Senator Girard?
Yes.
Senator Taylor?
Aye.
Senator Frederick?
Yes. House Bill 2743 passes. And thank you, Senator Girard.
We actually have Representative Huffman here.
And have, oh, that's right. He's.
I can do that.
You could do that. That would be great. That's a good point.
To the full?
To the full?
He's on the floor. I'll carry it to the Senate floor.
Okay. Senate good. Floor? And Representative Huffman to the House floor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, I'm going to open a public hearing and public hearing right now on House Bill 2784. And we have representative. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as amended with the -A4 amendment, the House Bill 2784 would appropriate $50,000 of general fund to the Oregon Department of Agriculture to conduct a statewide pilot program designed to increase the frequency of water quality monitoring analysis on state lands that can be used for commercial shellfish production. This work is to prioritize areas with high demand for cultivation of commercial shellfish.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you for coming here.
Oh, it's a delight. Co-Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, members of the committee, I'm Katty McHugh, and I represent House District 9, Coos Beatty Yahats. And I'm delighted to be here today to talk about House Bill 2784. As a coastal representative, of course, the iconic shellfish industry in the state of Oregon is something that's very important to me and to my colleagues up and down the coast and to my constituents up and down the coast. In 2015, Senator Johnson and I had done a significant amount of work with our shellfish producers over the previous year. Washington and California were ahead of us in successfully bringing to their legislative bodies shellfish initiatives that were lining up with work that was being done at the federal level to make sure that our industry had what they needed to be successful and to grow. And we have room to grow in Oregon. Part of this was driven out of a devastating event that occurred a few years ago in shellfish production. And Senator Frederick, instead of carrot seed, we'll talk about oyster seed and economic development, which I know Representative Witt understands in rural communities is very important. We had a devastating crash of our seed production industry up in the north coast of Oregon. And very few people know this, but producing oyster seed is a very difficult thing to do, but our entire industry depends on one facility that develops oyster seed, Whiskey Creek. And because of ocean conditions, particularly ocean acidification problems, they were not able to produce oyster seed. And without going into a great deal of the detail of why that occurred, we had a serious problem on our hands. So we set scientists at Oregon State on the problem. It took them a little while to figure it out, but they did. And with some buffering and some water quality adjustments, they were able back to get into production with Molluscan broodstock production. So very critical to this entire industry. So that that helped the good senator and I and the Coastal Caucus decide it was time that we followed our states to the north and to the south and put together a shellfish initiative, not only to study these issues to make sure that this didn't happen again, but to look at land use issues, look at how oyster production occurs, what are best practices, look at the ocean acidification issues that are going to continue to be issues for us to deal with. And make sure that they were providing the support that our industry needs to grow. We're becoming iconic not only in the United States, but across the world. We have opportunities that are robust. So we passed the Shellfish Task Force bill 2 years ago. We spent 18 months working very hard with a very large group of stakeholders and scientists and agency representatives, putting together 32 recommendations that we would like to bring forward for the consideration of this legislative body to support this industry. Now, we realize that under the circumstances, we have some financial constraints. So in this bill, we had two bills. In this bill, we actually pared down a number of those 32 recommendations to just two, and we're working very hard to lower the fiscal on the remaining recommendations that are coming in another vehicle. But this is actually quite simple. All this bill does is allow the identification of the Department of Agriculture as the lead agency in commercial shellfish production. Right now there are, I'm looking at Lauren, how many agencies involved? Half a dozen, probably. And for our shellfish, our commercial producers, having one lead agency can streamline and simplify the process they go through when they have land use issues. The Oregon Health Authority is involved. The Department of Fish and Wildlife is involved. The Department of Ag is involved. It's a very complex business. And so naming a lead agency will be helpful. The other thing that we did in 2015 is we put a little bit of money aside for a pilot program in Tillamook Bay. When you are a shellfish producer and you rely on harvest times to bring your product to market, if there is a weather event and a lot of water rushes it down through an estuary, it's arbitrarily closed for 2 weeks from shellfish harvest. Now, it's a very arbitrary number. And so we put a little bit of money into a pilot project in Tillamook Bay. When there were these events that put an arbitrary closure on harvest, that they could go in and do significant scientific testing in areas of that particular estuary that in the future may develop a protocol where we may be able to open those bays a little bit quicker. A few days makes a really big difference. So that work was done, and we're very pleased with the outcome. But with this pilot, there was a little bit of money left over. I think there's about $75,000 left from the Tillamook Bay pilot project. We would like to be able to reappropriate that money down to one of the other estuaries to continue that work since they didn't use it all. And the second piece of this bill has to do with taking that $50,000 and reappropriating it to another test program. And Lauren may be able to explain the details of how we do that a little bit better. What's going to happen on Saturday when the fiscal year ends is that money will go away. We would like to have that money reappropriated, that little tiny bit of money, so we can do one more year of testing in another estuary. So this bill does those two things. And the Dash 4, of the 32 recommendations we had, narrows this down to two. And one is keep that pilot program alive and moving with the money that's already been appropriated, so there's no new money going into it, just using what we already have, and naming the Department of Agriculture the lead agency for commercial shellfish production.
Representative, the list is an impressive list from that particular shellfish task force. You are talking primarily, if you remember them, in particular, number six, is it 6 through 10 that you're talking about? Do you remember what the recommendations were?
I don't have the list of recommendations in front of me, but Co-Chair Frederick, I think at the end of the day in this session, all told, those 34 recommendations, there was a significant fiscal attached to those, of course, because a lot of it has to do with research,
right,
and FTE in our most capable agencies that deal with shellfish. It had to do with educational programs and best practices. Under the circumstances, because of the constraints we find ourselves in, we've scaled that way back. There are really two things that are very, very important to this industry. One is continued support of that molluscan broodstock program, which is how you make oyster seed. And the other is the continued study of the ocean acidification issues. So those two pieces of the 32 that had that were significant, I believe will move forward in another vehicle. What we're down to in this very simple bill is just the two that I spoke about, which is moving the $50,000 to another estuary and naming the agency. I guarantee you, sir, we will be back in another session continuing with this good work so that we can follow our states to the north and south of us and make sure we're doing the best things we can for this industry, because there is work to be done. But under the circumstances, this is where we are right now.
Thank you. Well, I would commend the committee to take a look at the list, list of 32 recommendations, because we will get it again. We will be talking about this again at some point. We should be anyway.
I thank you, sir. And I believe that Co-Chair Witt and Representative Power and Representative Esquivel are very familiar with this issue. It's been before the Ag and Natural Resources Committee now for, what, a couple, 3 years. It's an issue that will be coming back because it's incredibly important to the economic vitality of our coastal communities. This truly is, in the bottom line, an economic development issue that we're dealing with here. So it's all about seeds and economic development today, I hear.
It is. Thank you. Any other questions?
I just have a comment. Yes. I really like the lead agency idea. And I think that this can overlap into other arenas as well. I think one of the problems we have is you have so many different agencies, and if you don't have a lead agency, it makes it very difficult to get through the process. And I think this will help simplify it.
Senator, I concur, and I can tell you we had all of the agencies for well over a year at all of our meetings with this initiative, when the task force was actually operating, with our producers, with community stakeholders, with the tribes. It was a very robust group, and the other agencies agree that having a lead agency is very important, particularly with an industry like this. It was very gratifying to see them all working together to try and support this very important industry to the coast. So thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to close the public hearing on 2784 and open a work session on House Bill 2784.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, LFO recommends adoption of the Dash A4 amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the A4 amendment to House Bill 2784.
Thank you. Chair Witt moves the adoption of the A4 amendment to House Bill 2784. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? So moved.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, LFO recommends that House Bill 2784, as amended by the Dash A4 amendment, be moved to the Ways and Means Full Committee.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Chair Witt moves moves the House Bill 2784 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Yes, Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just thinking that Representative McEwen described a scientific study where they're trying to shorten the amount of time before oysters are released after a significant rainfall. And I was just thinking that it would be helpful if this subcommittee were to receive a copious amount of oysters on the half shell that we could then determine whether it was appropriate to release those to the general public or not.
Thank you, sir. Are you the walrus or the carpenter here? Thank you.
That's late in the session, can't you?
Of course, with the appropriate wines and some southern sauces to go, it would be perfect.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion? No? Would you please call the roll?
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Representative Power?
Aye.
Representative Lewis?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Senator Girard?
Thank you.
Yes.
Senator Taylor?
Aye.
Senator Frederick?
Yes. And it's been suggested that Senator Roblin carry this because he's been involved with this quite a bit. So that would be good on both Ways and Means and probably on the floor. Who would like to do that on the House side?
Caddy.
Sure.
Okay.
Of course. Makes sense.
Just a suggestion.
So I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2784, and I'm going to close the committee meeting on for the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources for today. Thank you very much.
Sorry we were late.
That's okay.
What do we have to do?
Yeah.
What do we have to do?
Yeah.
What do we have to do?
It's okay.
What do we have to do?